This morning we're back into the book of Revelation. I hope you like Revelation as well as I do. It's an area a lot of people don't like to trod in, but I love it because it challenges us. It gives us insight of the prophecy of the things to come. And we need to know about those things, don't we? So that we can be ready and prepared when the Lord comes back one of these days. And let me put it this way. As the scripture teaches us about generations, each generation should expect the Lord to come back in that generation. Are you with me on this?
Yep.
Our generation, the next generation, and the generations to come, each generation should expect the Lord to come then. Paul and his generation, he thought the Lord was coming back while he was still here on this earth. And other disciples and so forth, they were looking for the kingdom to come. Well, it is coming, but not on our time, but on God's time frame. When the Heavenly Father says, "All right, my son, the Lamb of God, go get the church, bring them home." And then it will occur. So each generation, you should encourage that to the generations below you. Look for the Lord's coming. And then we're in chapter 5 this morning, a Revelation. We had Mother's Day and other things going on, so we had a little interruption from chapter 4 of Revelation. Now we're in chapter 5. So we're looking at chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. And so follow along with me as I read. "I saw in the right hand of him," that's the symbol of God, extending his right hand, "set on the throne a book written inside and on the back sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?'" Now this is seven seals. It was seven seals that had this book sealed. Verse 3, "And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth." Now where's under the earth? Where's under the earth? Huh? Yes. Hades or hell? That's right. "And was able to open the book or to look into it. I then began to weep." Now John is weeping here greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or even to look into it. "And one of the elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Behold, the Lamb that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, the bright morning star.'" Okay, that speaks about that more over in chapter 21 of the root of David, the bright morning star, "has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne four living creatures and the elders of the Lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the Spirit of God, sent out into all the world." In verse 7, "And he came and he took the book," the scroll, "out of the right hand of him who sat upon it." Now here, you see a picture of God on the throne in his seven seals. And as we see prophecy being fulfilled, and that's where John is. He's right. I mean, he's in the early part of Revelation. And of course, there's 22 chapters to Revelation. But here in the early stages, perhaps the church has already been called up or raptured up. Of course, rapture is not in the Bible, but being called up. Because the church is not mentioned anymore after chapter 3. So this is John seeing and God allowing John to see the things in heaven. And in chapter 4, he says, come up here. And he called him up in the spirit. And now we see that John is seeing a scroll, something very important, which has the, it's a document or a legal document that is sealed, and no one can open it. No one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. So this situation represents the focus of chapter 4 is very serious. John saw it very serious. No one could open it. And in fact, it's the greatest crisis of all time, and all other flows from it, this particular crisis. So it's a huge crisis, and we are introduced to this right here in verse 1. Now, the scene in heaven has shifted from chapter 4, that I preached on a few weeks ago, where we see God, the Creator. John saw the Creator. He saw him there on the throne. And that's what we're picturing here. In chapter 5 right here, a new element in time, a human history, occurs as God, the Redeemer, enters the scene. I want you to picture that. God enters the scene. He extends his right hand as a symbol of the power, all authority, sitting on the throne, overseeing everything that he has created, and placing us here as well. And this is speaking about his creation as a people of God. Now, John is now introduced to a scroll that will become the central the following chapters to come after chapter 5. And it contains impelling prophecy of the book of Revelation. So let's look at the seven seals of what John is talking about in verse 1. And here we see in verse 1 that it begins where John's attention is now drawn back to the central throne of God. In chapter 4, it was drawn to God being on the throne, but now he's drawn back to see God himself seated there. And on his right hand is the book, or we call it a scroll. Now, back then, there wasn't scrolls. I mean, books, but it was a scroll. But what John sees on the palm of God's hand is a legal document that has been sealed legally with seven seals, and that's a lot of seals. Now, let me break this down a little bit on the seal. Seals is a number of the things of the world. And number 3 is also thrown in there, which is a perfect number, which represents a completion of God's work. Now, the number 7 indicates it is completely closed, and the contents in there are inaccessible, okay? No one can open it. So what is the content of this document? Well, this scroll gives authority and power to its recipients to interact with God's final purposes. So no one is worthy. But they are all there in this very important document. You know, you get important documents in the mail, and sometimes you have to sign for them, right? But it makes you curious when you see something that's sealed or it has to be signed for or something like that. Well, what is this? You know, I got something here recently, potential serving on the court. Well, come to find out, I didn't have to do it because they settled it out of court. So I thought, oh, wow, that's good. That I don't know. Many of you have had to serve as a jury or something like that. But so when we see this, this scroll gives authority. All right. So it contains the climax of God's purposes to reward His people. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked about those 5 rewards that believers can receive, and the crowns and the rewards. But it tells us about our inheritance as well. On the opposite side of that, it condemns the wicked. So the wicked is included in this. So it's a scroll of destiny and the destiny of the world. Now, let's look at who is worthy, verses 2 through 4. And this is where the crisis comes in, right here in verse 2 through 4. So in verses 2 and 3, a search is made to find someone worthy to open the seven seals of this order. Then the angels who are messengers, the mighty angels, in verses chapter 10, verses and 18, 21, initiates an extensive search to find who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals. Now, the search is for someone of supreme goodness. So as John saw, looking in and seeing God's right hand extended, and then no one is worthy. See, that caused John to think, oh my goodness, who is going to be able to open something this important? If it's on God's throne, it has to be important. And it has to do with our inheritance. It has to do with our future, our in heaven and so forth. So it had to do with supreme goodness and character and godliness. So what is the great crisis? John is saying, what is this great crisis? So no one was found who could bring about God's purposes for his people. So the search was every extensive and exhaustive. So it's, scripture says no one in heaven or earth or under the earth was able to open or break the seals. So in other words, as we look at this and seeing the picture of what John is seeing, no one was worthy to conclude the essence of what we know and begin the external existence of things to come. So the secrets of the world belong to one, just to one, who is worthy, since no man is worthy. None can open and enact God's plan to conclude what's going on in the ages. Now, so what John's response is to this in verse 4, then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. When I think about John was really close to Jesus. And I'm thinking in my own mind, and as I read this, as he spent his time here on earth with Jesus and spent so much in Jesus' ministry and so forth, John was very concerned about the prophecies that were being fulfilled and being allowed to see what was going to be taking place. And John was there at Jesus' crucifixion. And then he was there at the tomb when he got the word that Jesus had risen. And then he was one of the disciples that got to see Jesus go ascend back into heaven. And now God had chosen him of all 12 disciples, and he placed him on the Isle of Patmos to write the book. And again, many of these things is inspiration versus revelation. Inspiration is the things that John was able to see and witness while he was with Jesus on this earth. And revelation is what John is seeing now as he is given the privilege and the opportunity to see right into heaven and seeing the revelation unfold before him. And there it is. the seal, the seven-sealed scroll, and no one able to open it. And John weeps greatly. He weeps greatly. John is left in complete despair, meaning continuous loud wailing. Can you just see John wailing, knowing that, okay, I've witnessed all of these things in Jesus' ministry, and now God has given me the opportunity, and more things are unfolding before me, and I don't understand it. So he wails bitterly. Now, mankind senses itself caught up in evil and misery in this world, from which it has tried unsuccessfully to break free. But man is not going to break free unless he knows Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And John knows these things are sealed up. All of the answers to life and eternity is sealed up in this scroll, and no one is able to open it. And John would like to know, what's the future for the people? What's the future for the world? And it's all concealed right here. So at times, it seems that breaking free is hopeless in this world. Many people go through this world experiencing all the chaos and the crisis in this world, and they feel hopeless. See, life with its bonds are represented in the seals which no man can break. Let me say that again. Life with its bonds are represented in the seals which no man can break. And that's why John was weeping. He knew he couldn't. No one was worthy in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. Now we are incapable of changing the course of our existence. Only one person can, right? Only one. We can't change existence or the directions of this world, but God can. And that's, so never go despair. Never worry or doubt what things are coming that you know, you may think about that's going to happen in this world. That who's in control? Jesus. We don't have to worry about that. We know that God is. So if one is not capable, if one worthy is not found, one person being bringing us to victory, we are lost, for there is no hope or accurate strength with the best and the wisest and the strongest to accomplish in our own. But thankfully, the passage doesn't end here. John now encounters the Christ, the one who is able to open the seals. And that's what we see here in verses 5 through 7. So now John is relieved. It's in suspense right now with John up to this point. But now in verse 5, John is shaken out of grief. John is told, "Stop weeping. Behold." What he's saying, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God who was placed on the cross. Behold the Lamb of God who was placed in the tomb. Behold the Lamb of God that was risen. Behold the Lamb of God that was on earth, and you witnessed him walking the earth for 40 days before he ascended. Behold, stop weeping. It's okay. The victory has been won. That's what John is being told. A great deal of emphasis is in Scripture is placed on seeing from the right perspective. And that's why I would encourage you to read Revelation. If you're afraid to try or step into the Revelations, just say, "Lord, give me the wisdom and understanding and insights as I read beginning with Revelation chapter 1 all the way through chapter 22, give me the insights, because as Christians, we have the power of God's Spirit within us, and He gives us access to interpretations of the Scriptures. The Bible is its own interpreter, so we don't have to go outside the Bible to find out what's going on within the Bible, because just like John, as he was experiencing the grief and the wailing of tears and so forth, and then the angel said, "Behold, don't weep. It's the Lamb of God. It's the Lamb of God." So here, someone comes into the picture who changes everything. He is first designated the Lamb from the tribe of Judah. And John knew about that. He knew that Jesus was being prophesied from the Old Testament on, that someone, the Savior, the Messiah, would be coming. And see, that should be encouraging to us, because we already have the Word of God. He didn't have that then, and he was getting the revelations and the inspiration of God telling him exactly what was going to be taking place at any time. So this image is one powerful image. You think about it, it's powerful. Jesus is also called the root of David, the lineage of David. If you go look in Matthew and look at the genealogy, there's 14 generations leading up to Jesus' birth. And that is why that David came through that lineage, the lineage of Judah. And that's why he's called the root of David, the bright and morning star in Revelation 21:22. So he is the royal family, the chosen God, chosen to rule, that had long ago fallen. Now, the reference is based on, I'll take you to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through 10. It's based on what Isaiah saw. He received a revelation from God himself about the Messiah, the Lamb of God, coming from the lineage of Judah. So this is the image of strength of the Messiah, but also it speaks of the wisdom and the justice. So God has all wisdom, and one of these days we are going to be given justice. So, you know, just think about all the sins from when you were born, or born into the kingdom of God, to where you are now. So one of these days that we stand before God, as we are judged, and Christ will be our judge, the Lamb of God, and we will be judged rightly. Now in our course today, we may not always see that, because we don't have all the information and all the facts, and they had to base it upon facts. But see, God has all the facts on us, right? There's nothing hidden. We can't hide anything. So what he sees in us, he will judge us accordingly, and we will stand before him and say, "You are right. I did all those things, or I didn't do any of those things I should have done for your kingdom." But God has the wisdom. We don't have the wisdom of God, but he gives us wisdom to be able to interpret and understand what he has given us to understand. Now, you see, his works of redemption and life and history are mysteries to all of us. And that's why so many people are fearful to tread through the book of Revelation. But for the Christian, life and history has significant, real meaning. And the world itself, and life itself in God's hand, we are secure. So we as Christians can see all life, its final unfolding, as being in God's right hand. And that's the symbol. See, we're in God's right hand. We're protected. We are sealed. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, you know, we're chosen, we're justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So we are protected by God's right hand, a symbol of the power, of divine power that God has. Now, looking in verse 6 quickly, John looks up and sees the lamb and the lion. Now, the Christ is shown to be a lamb, which is, of course, the picture of the sacrifice and the humility of God allowing his son come into this world, as John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." So that's showing the sacrifice that Christ did on behalf of our sins. And all this is a picture of what is taking place in heaven. And it's a reminder of John, it's a reminder of us that the Lamb of God gave his life. God allowed him to die for our cross. He is the ultimate victory in our life. So Christ's worthiness and ability to break the seal of the scroll of the destiny of mankind and human history are linked to the victory won on the cross. You getting the picture that John is showing us or painting for us right here? Starting with the book of first chapter of Revelation, it is telling us who the Lamb of God is. It's letting us know from the very beginning of Revelation, it's just not about prophet Seth, but the Lamb of God who died for our sins. And then the rest of it is the detail of the things that is coming in the future and that we are to be prepared for. So, he is the lion who is the lamb, the lion of Judah, conquers by his sacrificial suffering as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John chapter 1, verse 29. Now, in verse 7, stage can cease. Verse 7. The lion who looks like a lamb, worthiness and goodness, it manifests in that he is able to take the book and open it. He's the only one worthy, because he is perfect in all ways. He is obedient in all ways. And he's the only one worthy because the sin he paid for our redemption. You see, that's what the book of Revelation is. It's to let us know who the Lamb is, the Lamb of God is. It's Christ Jesus who paid the price for our sins. And by his sacrificial sufferings as the Lamb of God, he takes away the sins of the world. Now in verse 7 again, and we'll go back there, he took it out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now what does this mean? In our hopelessness and our despair, his sacrificial death and powerful resurrection opens up the true life for us. And that's what John is seeing, and that's what he's revealing and passing on to us. He is able to bring about our inheritance, the world's inheritance, for the people of God. And inheritance includes forgiveness of sin and giving each and every one of us, you sitting here today, myself and anyone else who claims the name of Jesus, eternal life. That's what was in the scroll. And there's another book that will be opened as well, the Lamb Book of Life. Now in conclusion, Jesus is pictured as a lion, symbolizing his authority and the power of the Lamb, symbolizing Christ's submission to the Heavenly Father. You see, that's why he was able to open. He's the only one on the throne, able to. And see, the Heavenly Father gave him the right to do that because of his sacrificial death. See, he is the Lamb proving himself worthy to break the seals and open the scroll of man's destiny. Man's destiny is either he's going to be with the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ one of these days in heaven, or as it was revealed early, no one was able to open the scroll under the earth. That other destiny is Hades or hell, according if you're reading from the Old Testament or the New Testament. So only Jesus can save us from the tribulation events unleashed by the opening of the scroll. And that's what was, that was the crisis that John was experiencing and seeing. Only the Lamb of God who died for us on the cross has already won the greatest battle of all time, of all mankind. And there's no one else worthy to give you or me the gift of life or eternal life. So that leaves who? The Lamb of God. Only Jesus is worthy of our life and trust, because he is the Lamb of God, God's chosen son. Makes you want to get into the book of Revelation and dig more, right? Because there's treasures and treasures of blessings here for the Christian and for the world to see. And we can live the life of the kingdom of God here on earth, and one of these days we'll experience it with him in heaven. What a day that will be. And it's all right here contained in God's word. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the message from Revelation chapter 5 this morning. There's so much there for us to grasp, and so much, it could take more time. But Lord, we see what John was experiencing. And you didn't hold it back. You revealed it to him so he could write it down, and so that the generations after him, who includes us, can see our inheritance and how, Lord, that you loved us so much that you did send a perfect lamb, Lion of Judah, the Root of David, bright and morning star. We could only picture that and take a glimpse of what John experienced. And you wiped away his tears, showing him the true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know him personally, Lord, I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit to open up each and every one of our hearts to receive more, a renewal of our spirit, so that we can learn more and be motivated even to do more. During this invitation, Lord, may each and every one of us search our hearts. May we be open and sensitive to your spirit to step out, make a decision, whatever you're calling us to do right now. We be like Jesus. We be obedient. And we want to do what's right. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning.